you've all been blessed with the messages from Steve and Joanne Trammell. And I don't think today will be any different as we welcome their son, Joel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be back here. It's been a long time since I've been in town on a Sunday. Long time since I've been able to worship with you. But I have so many great memories of growing up here at Hayes Christian Church. And being back brings to mind those memories of VBS and Sunday school and picnics and dinners and all of those different things. Seems like a lot of them involved food. And I'm good with that. I like food. Hayes Christian Church was a central part of my life from birth until I graduated from college here at Fort Hays State in 1993. Within a day or two of graduating from college, I packed up my car as full as it would get, had about $50 in my pocket, and I left. And as I was driving the 183 bypass out towards I-70, it occurred to me I could go either way. It was a moment of radical freedom, or a sense of radical freedom. Things that were past, those loose ends had been tied up. The things that were ahead were all still in the realm of pure potential. And I sensed that freedom. Now, I knew which way I was going to go. I turned west and went to Colorado. With it being Independence Day, though, my thoughts have been on this concept of freedom. And certainly it's a cherished concept for our nation. And it is a cherished concept in Christ as well. As I think about our nation, though, and our rich heritage of freedom, that freedom has sometimes been threatened, sometimes imperfectly understood, but it's always been cherished, it's always been fiercely guarded. And it may be a cliche to say freedom is not free, but it is certainly true that our freedoms have been established and guarded and grown through tremendous sacrifices by so many. And we should cherish those things. And we should see it as a responsibility to live our lives, our best possible lives, to honor those sacrifices that have given us those freedoms as a nation. The scriptures also abound with freedom passages, different places that remind us about freedom. We know that in Christ we have been set free. Free from the strictures of the Mosaic law. Free from slavery to sin. And we know that sin, or slavery to sin, or slavery, is more than just that sense of when one person owns another, as happened in a tragic chapter of our nation's history. We know there are various forms of slavery. So sometimes we hear today around the world dire stories of human trafficking, social, economic, and political forces that compel people into unlivable, intolerable, horrible situations. And that's slavery as well. And we know about that more metaphorical sense of slavery, where addictions or mental illnesses rob people of their ability to make good decisions, good choices, and often lead to a cycle of poverty and broken relationships, trouble with the law, misery. It's a form of slavery. Slavery to sin. As Christians, we know true freedom lies at the heart of our message of the good news of Jesus, proclaimed and revealed and made possible by following Jesus' example. And following this example, we know that we can experience joy, peace, fulfillment as we grow into the people that God has created us to be. So often, when we think of freedom, we only think of that absence of being compelled to do something. When someone says, it's a free country, that translates as, I can do whatever I want. But we misuse our freedom sometimes in ways that take away our future freedoms. Freedom brings the possibility of ingenuity and growth, of pouring ourselves into worthwhile work and loving others. Working towards making a world that reflects the unshakable reality that the kingdom of God truly is at hand. But freedom also brings the possibility of short-sighted, selfish, greedy, self-destructive choices. We know that. choices that have real and dire consequences, choices that rob us and our loved ones of future freedom and cloud our vision of the love and growth and community that are hallmarks of God's kingdom. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And reflecting on this freedom in Christ in Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Rightly using our freedom often means disciplining ourselves and giving our lives structure. It sounds a little like the opposite of freedom, but we have to have that discipline to be able to grow and to build. Now, for several years, I've had a morning routine that I try to follow where I get up and I exercise and I read my Bible and I journal for a bit. And on weekdays when I have to get to work, I actually do pretty well with that because I have this tight schedule and I know I have to get up and I have to get moving. But on the weekends and those other days, I wake up and I tell myself, I've got plenty of time. And I tell myself, I could do things in a different order. I will get around to that later. And throughout the day, I keep telling, this doesn't happen every weekend, but I keep telling myself, I've got plenty of time. And before I know it, I don't have any time at all. And the day has gotten away from me. And even the most basic things, such as the exercise, the reading the Bible, the journaling, didn't get accomplished. That's a use of freedom. But easy things tend to be worth about as much as they cost us. And a day of binge-watching Netflix costs very little in terms of effort, but at the end of the day, we've accomplished nothing of significance. Now, I think some time of rest and relaxation is very important, and we do need those times as well. But too much of that will leave us anxious and unfulfilled. So the freedom to do what we please has the potential for us to do great things, to write the great American novel, to accomplish all sorts of tasks, or it has the potential to leave us with a great big pile of nothingness. It's just like the freedom, we have the freedom to eat as we please, and we know that if we have a diet full of nutritious foods, that can lead to greater focus and greater health and strength. But also, I know that if I follow the diet that my appetite sometimes tells me about, the Frito and cheesecake diet, that I'm going to feel pretty crummy before too long if I just only eat those things. And we have the freedom to think as we please as well. And that has the potential to bring us wisdom and insight, purpose and vision. But it also has the potential to bring us mindless entertainment, pointless drama, and thoughtless acts of selfishness and cruelty. In Paul's final charge to Timothy, he warned of times when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I believe we live in an age of unprecedented itching ears teachers, of so much information out there that is spouted out that is unsubstantiated, and is really there just to generate clicks and drive ratings. Because of Christ Jesus, we are freed from sin's tyranny, and we are free to live and to grow into the people that God created us to be. We are free to love one another. We are free to work towards justice and an end of suffering. We are free to work to leave the world a better place than we found it, to love generations that are just now coming of age and generations not yet born. We are free to discover peace. But as I've said, deeper enduring freedom takes work. We must strive each day to live as our best selves. We must use our freedom to make good choices, always working to continue Jesus' ministry of loving, healing, and making this broken world whole. Now, when John the Baptist preached, when the crowds heard it, they were convicted, and they said, "What then should we do?" And John's reply was, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Some tax collectors asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "Don't collect any more than you are required to." Some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Now, what strikes me about this passage of Scripture is that we're not just in a quest for our own freedom and development. We are called to help one another to grow in our freedom and to thrive in Christ's name. On more than one occasion, the Scriptures remind us that we are a body, that just like a body has hands and feet and eyes and muscles, and they all are different parts, but they work together as a whole and one purpose, so also, as the church, we are one body. We have different roles and different gifts and abilities, but we work together towards one common purpose. We are Christ's hands and feet in the world. Jesus called us to follow him, to learn from his example and from his teaching, and then to share in his ministry of building one another up and proclaiming the good news of salvation, freedom from sin, and freedom to grow into the people God has called us to be and created us to be. Now, my favorite memory of Hayes Christian Church is a little hard to put into words. It's more of an experience that went throughout my childhood. But one thing about Hayes Christian is it wasn't until I was in high school that we had our first part-time paid minister. And in those years leading up to that, I remember we did not have a sense of something lacking. We knew that the work of the church was our work, our ministry to share. And as I've moved on and I've worshiped with other congregations and other branches of the church, I've come to realize that's not something you can take for granted. So I have come to see that in many places, they regard the work of the church as the work of the few who make their living in ministry. But Hayes Christian Church instilled me with that sense that I am a part of the body of Christ with a vital role to play. I know this congregation, right now, you are between ministers, and I hope and pray for your search. But I also hope that and pray that you can draw upon that rich heritage of shared ministry to not only get through this time between ministers, but to thrive and to grow and to be a fount of freedom, bringing peace and love, not just with family and friends, but with neighbors and with the entire world. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.